This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Salam sisters, my name is Jana and I'm here to bring you Real Sister Talk by Sadaqa Welfare Fund. I am so grateful you are here because this podcast is designed for you, our sisters in Islam, as a thank you from Sadaqa Welfare Fund for helping us reach so many of our brothers and sisters in need. Assalamu alaikum, my dear sisters. Welcome to Real Sister Talk. Joining me in the studio today is Sheikha Jamaluddin, who's a Quran and Islamic Sciences teacher here in Sydney. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikha.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a pleasure to be with you, Jana.
Allah, same here. I'm so happy that you agreed to join us today.
Hello, would you for inviting me?
Inshallah. This episode is airing in Ramadan, inshallah. So the whole topic is going to be about Ramadan, inshallah, to pump ourselves and sisters up for Ramadan and like to keep our iman on a high, inshallah,
ya
during
Rabbi,
the month.
Inshallah.
So what do you think is the most important thing for us sisters to have in our bag for Ramadan?
Yeah. طيب بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So look, if I could advise anyone anything, I would say to them, you know, don't lose your whole focus of Ramadan. A lot of people, what happens in Ramadan is they get so focused on checklists, mm-hmm, and, you know, like the outward actions, they get a lot of, you know, they kind of get caught up with all of that.
Yeah.
So I want everyone to just come back and think, what is the whole goal and purpose of Ramadan, right? The whole purpose and goal of Ramadan is, you know, to get close to Allah Ta'ala, mm-hmm, number one.
Yep.
And to really try to, you know, make yourself feel the ibadah, like feel the worship you're doing, like enjoy the spiritual experience of worshipping Allah in this month.
Subhanallah, yeah.
Okay, that is really important. And look, if anything, try to think about it as like a spiritual retreat. You know, these days we find a lot of non-Muslims, you know, taking people on all these spiritual retreats, you know, doing Zen and mindfulness and all that. But we don't realize, and they pay thousands of dollars, right?
Yep.
They pay thousands of dollars for those retreats, right?
SubhanAllah.
But Allah Ta'ala gave us this spiritual retreat for free.
SubhanAllah.
But it's just that we don't know how to treat it properly. Most of us lose sight of the higher purpose of Ramadan.
Yep.
Okay, so it's really important that we all just, you know, slow down. Try not to stress.
Try.
And try to just focus on the big picture.
Yeah.
You know, simplify your life as much as you can.
Yeah.
And just try to cut out the outer noise as much as you can as well.
SubhanAllah.
You know, and just try to come into a still mode.
Still mode.
If you can. You know, as much as possible. I mean, we can't completely come into a still mode. We still have the kids. We still have the work. But you know what I mean? Try to just cut down and sort of become quieter. Yeah. And then you'll be able to focus more on that spiritual side of you. Because look, Ramadan's all about nourishing the spiritual self.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it's Ramadan is all about, you know, tapping into the spiritual self and really tasting that sweetness of being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan.
Subhanallah.
That's what we should all be focusing on as much as possible. And then you'll really feel Ramadan, bi-idhnillah.
Inshallah.
Yeah.
Inshallah, inshallah, we'll get those moments, inshallah.
Allahumma ameen.
Hopefully they're not moments. Hopefully they're like always there. But yeah, I feel like we all get these moments in Qiyam, subhanallah. It's beautiful. You feel the stillness. You feel the quiet. Yeah.
It can happen in different times. Like it could be when you're reciting Quran. It could be when you're standing in Qiyam behind the imam. It could be making dua in the early hours of the morning. Like there will be times, you know. Like you're not going to always feel spiritually high every moment in Ramadan. Be realistic.
Yeah.
But, you know, as much as possible, try to get yourself into that mode of trying to enjoy the ibadah and realizing your need for that ibadah. I think that is the very key point that people
we need
to do. You actually need this ibadah. Like, Allah does not need this ibadah. You're the one who needs this ibadah. And that's why Allah, you know, has, you know, prescribed this ibadah for us because we need it. And we neglect the spiritual self. You know, we're all hooked up with, you know, we all take care of our diets, we take care of our physical health, but we neglect our spiritual self.
Yeah, subhanAllah. So you're a revert yourself. You converted to Islam a long time ago, I think.
Yeah, very long time.
Very long time ago. So sometimes I forget. Sometimes like I have to like actually think, oh yeah, she has like a fair dinkum Aussie accent. That's like how I remember, subhanAllah. But what is your advice for like sisters who like are reverts, but they're alone. They either like they haven't told their families yet and they're going to spend their Ramadan alone.
Yeah, look, so I actually, you know, alhamdulillah, I've actually passed through that myself. Like I when I reverted to Islam, I was still living at home with my non-Muslim family. Mm-hmm. And I had to actually be an undercover Muslim for a while as well. And I had to fast Ramadan like as an undercover Muslim. So I've gone through that.
Yeah.
Look, I think some of the things I did was, you know, I was at uni then. So like I might maybe meet up for iftar with other Muslim students, you know, and have iftar at uni together.
That's a good idea, yep.
It's very important as reverts, we do have to be very proactive about staying in touch with the community, you know, getting in there into the community and really trying to establish connections. But inshallah, you'll find some friends, families that may invite you for iftar. I mean, that's one thing that born Muslims need to be conscious of, that there are a lot of reverts out there who might have to, you know, be breaking fast on their own. If they see anyone out there, if they know anyone, think about inviting them over and letting them feel the warmth of that family, you know,
gathering.
That family gathering for iftar, you know. Because I had that. I was very blessed, you know, to have certain, you know, sisters in the community that had that beautiful family that invite me in, you know, for iftar.
Yeah.
And then, look, you're going to know other reverts.
Yeah.
So even just get together with them.
Yeah.
And I do think that it would really help a lot of reverts if they can try to get to a masjid and pray, you know, go for the prayers. I think you really need that connection because you're just at home by yourself. So either go to the masjid and pray, you know, behind the imam, or get together with some other sisters and pray together at someone's house.
Yeah.
That's what I would suggest, so that you don't, you know, make sure you feel Ramadan. Make sure you get into the Ramadan mode.
Because there is a beautiful feeling when you're like in the gathering in Ramadan, subhanAllah. Like you just feel it in Taraweeh.
Absolutely.
You feel the vibes of like the angels are surrounding us, subhanAllah.
That's right.
So it is beautiful. So maybe at least just get that rather than, because it will be like actually very sad to break your fast alone. But now with intermittent fasting and all that, is a fad, you can actually have that as your alibi of I'm not eating because I'm doing intermittent fasting. I'm doing a detox for my body.
Yeah, no, well, I didn't find it difficult because we would have dinner around about, like if I came back from work or uni, we'd just have dinner after sunset. So no one really noticed. So I was just having dinner with the family, but a bit later, or I might delay my dinner. No one really noticed. And then I would keep my lunch, you know, for suhoor, you know, so that's, wasn't too bad. Like if you're breaking your fast with your like if you're at home with family and you're breaking your fast as dinner, you don't notice it that much. But you still do need to get out and be with other Muslims for iftar as well, other days.
To feel it.
You know,
subhanAllah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you tell sisters? Because I feel like the most problems arise, I feel, during Ramadan is through the menstrual cycle where we actually have to pause from all the ibadat and we can't perform our salah or go to the masjid, and then we get disconnected, and then going back to it we feel like we're just dipped. So what is your advice for sisters who feel like their iman like goes a little bit lower during that in the month of Ramadan? I feel like you can't afford it, basically.
I actually don't believe we have to let our iman dip.
Yeah,
you know, it's just a matter of realizing you just need to refocus on other types of worship, all right? Yeah. So like, yes, you can't fast, you can't pray, but focus more on, like, I take the opinion you can recite the Quran without, you know, physically touching the Quran, like without a barrier, you know, I take that opinion. So I would normally be increasing my recitation of the Quran during that time, for example, increasing my adhkar, you know, making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dua, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But besides that as well, that can be a good time for sisters, for example, to cook for others.
That's what I do, actually.
Yeah.
I invite
use
all
that
the family.
Time because, you know, you've got a bit more energy usually when you're not fasting. So, you know, use that time to cook for others and think about, you know, enjoy the feeling of giving, you know, and feeding the fasting and thinking about the fact that when you feed the fasting person, you get the same reward without decreasing from their reward.
SubhanAllah.
You know, and I think that's very fulfilling for sisters.
Yes. SubhanAllah.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, I think too, I should add too, an important point, which I would like to always emphasize, and that is when it comes to the last 10 nights.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of sisters, because they're not praying, they may think, oh, you know what, I'm just going to go to bed and sleep. Mm. You know what I'm trying to say? But yes, they don't realize that those 10 nights, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's Aisha describes that he, you know, ahya al-layl, like that he would, you know, wake up at night and basically bring the night alive with his ibadah, right? Yeah. So it doesn't mean you have to necessarily be praying.
Yeah.
You know, you can be, for example, reciting the Quran, you can be making dua, you can be doing dhikr, tawbah,
yeah,
you know, sincere tawbah to Allah.
These days, you know, we can even hop online and just do a transaction for sadaqah.
Yes.
You know, subhanAllah.
And, yeah, so,
you know, so you can still get that fulfillment. But I definitely advise sisters, don't just go to sleep on those last 10 nights, and especially not on Laylatul Qadr. You know, if it's Laylatul Qadr, you know, if you think it's the night of the 27th, 25th, those nights, just be, even if you can't pray, don't go to sleep. Like, stay up and really make the most of, you know, your worship in that night.
Yeah.
And don't feel that you're not part of it, you know?
Yeah, because you feel like, yeah, you're missing out, but...
No, no, don't let yourself feel like that. You know, you are part of it. You need to be part of it. You need to ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to make tawbah. You need to repent. You need to, you know, get close to Allah as much as you can. You know, try to have, you know, sincere moments, private moments with Allah in those days, inshallah.
SubhanAllah, like I just reminds me of like Arafah. Like, you're just making dua, basically. Like, you spend hours just making dua. So like it's that, and you still feel the connection.
That's right.
So
exactly. It's a very good, analogy.
SubhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
So let's break it now to our segment, Life Hack. So in this segment, we usually ask our guests to just give us a life hack that they that has made their life so much easier, or they just can't live without it. So what do you have for us?
Okay, my life hacks. This is for Ramadan, right?
Yeah. Okay. It can be for Ramadan. It can be like for anything else.
That's for Ramadan. Okay, so my life hacks for Ramadan. I found that the best thing when it comes to your approach to Ramadan is the first 20 days, just go on a moderate pace. Try to develop a moderate pace for yourself.
Yeah,
with everything that you're doing. And like I said, try to really enjoy those acts of worship, like really get yourself to feel it deeply and just enjoy it and just go on a moderate pace, right? Don't try to go too fast and too hard early because you can end up getting burnt out and then you may not have energy left for the last 10 days. So keep in your mind that you're trying to develop a moderate pace. Then when you get to the last 10 days, that's when you hit the accelerator, right?
Yeah.
But in saying that, you prioritize those nights too, because most of us can't stay up every night all night, you know. Mm-hmm. So look for the odd nights, and they're the nights that you put your maximum energy into it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one of my hacks.
Yes.
Another one is, especially if you want to stay up for those last 10 nights, if you want to stay up, I've found one thing that really helps me is having a coffee.
Yes.
At Maghrib.
Oh, yes. Maghrib and Suhoor. I have for Suhoor as well.
Okay.
I'm like, on Suhoor, I'm just like, my husband's like, you're going to sleep after this? I'm like, no, I don't think so. I'm just like, it's happening. We're taking a coffee at Suhoor time. Yeah.
SubhanAllah. So I'll have a coffee. Like I'll have my iftar, then I'll have my coffee, and then I might sleep for like half an hour.
Yeah.
Or maximum like an hour. It's like a power nap.
Yeah. Because
what happens is the coffee starts to act while you're sleeping, but you've got that real rest.
Yes.
Then when you wake up, you've got the combination of having the coffee plus
the rest,
having that rest, and then you're ready to hit, you know, and stay up the whole night.
SubhanAllah.
Okay, that really helps. That's a really powerful technique, that one.
Yes. SubhanAllah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yes, because like I feel like what happens is that's what happened to me. Like the last 10 nights, I'm like dozing off.
Yeah,
like,
see?
Because I'm tired. And with us, I feel like we don't have the luxury of like, but what happens is like my family overseas, they just sleep.
Oh. So
after they what's it called, shuruq comes, like they pray their duha and then they go to sleep till before dhuhr time.
Oh, right,
and then they wake up. I'm like, we have to drop off kids to school.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not happening. I think some of the school holidays might fall on in time for Ramadan, but like usually you're gonna have to wake up and get the kids ready, go to school. I'm like, how do you deal with that? And I have to go to work. I'm actually not thinking about it because I don't want to have a panic attack, but I work 9 to 5. I'm like, how's that going to fit into the equation? What am I going to come like a zombie to work? Oh, like I'm like
no.
half asleep. So yeah, I don't know. Like it's a bit tricky.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss out on the reward.
Of course.
But at the same time, you're living your
normal life, subhanAllah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. So that's a good life hack. I'm definitely going to do it. Power nap. Like take, drink your coffee, power nap, and then get the kick. Wow, double shake, subhanAllah. So what is your typical day for like Ramadan? Like what is a typical day for Sheikh Alam Jamaluddin? You know, like we always like, you know, look up to you guys. So we're like, what do they do? What do they do in the day?
Okay, yep. Look, I don't really like to say exactly.
Of course, yeah. You're not going to keep your ibadah between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No, but it's not just that as well. Everyone's got a different life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not really a good idea to compare to someone else's routine because we've all got different circumstances. Like my circumstances now are very different than they used to be.
Yes.
Like I haven't got young children anymore.
Yes.
That makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm able to, you know, have a lot more private time now than I was able to have, like say 20 years ago.
Yeah. But you get more headaches. So it adds up, I feel. The balance.
No, inshallah.
Like, you know, like when they're older, like there's more things to worry about, subhanAllah. Not because like, it's just that they have like bigger life decisions and you just worry as a mom.
Yeah.
So subhanAllah, I feel like it's always the balance is out. So I'm like, everybody goes through indifference at times.
Yeah. But like I'm just talking about as far as time in Ramadan. Yeah. So look, this is what there's like a blueprint I try to give people to give an idea of what you can do.
Yeah.
And then you can work into that your own routine, right?
Yeah.
So the basic plan is, you know, obviously wake up for suhoor. If you can pray a couple of rakat, you know, rakatain, for example, make them light, you know, have your suhoor. And then, you know, adhan al-fajr comes, pray your sunnah of fajr, of course, pray your fajr. And then if you can make that your Quran time, especially if you're working or something like that, you want to really maximize the morning.
Yeah.
You know, so if you can do your Quran at that time, I mean, normally you can fit in about a whole juz.
Yeah.
Sort of like after fajr until the sun rises. Then when the sun rises, pray your duha. If you can get a bit of a nap then, you can have a bit of a nap. And then once you've had a bit of a nap, you can wake up and, you know, when you take wudu and pray again. And then, for example, you might spend the morning doing some Quran or preparing the dinner.
Yeah.
For example, taking the kids to school, whatever. There's a lot of things we can do in that time.
Yes. You know,
it could be studying for uni. You might need to study.
Yep.
And then the whole time comes. Try to pray all your rawatib prayers in Ramadan, if you don't normally pray them. So that's like the 12 recommended rak'at, you know, rak'at to pray. Like, so it's two before fajr, four before dhuhr, two after maghrib, two after isha.
Inshallah.
So try to get those in because we know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that whoever prayed these 12 prayers in a night and day, Allah ta'ala would build for them a house in Jannah.
Inshallah.
And you know, a lot of the time during the year, we're a bit slack with these sunnah prayers. You know, we tend to just get off course. And so we want, like I said earlier, like Ramadan's about realigning yourself with your ultimate purpose, which is to worship Allah, right?
Yes.
So try to think, okay, you know what? The rest of the year, I don't get to do this stuff. But in Ramadan, I really want to try to focus on, you know, getting these things in, which I don't normally get in.
Yes.
Okay, so you prayed dhuhr and I told you about those rawatib prayers. And then, like, you've got the afternoon, you've got, again, you can be reading Quran because, look, one of the main things that if you look at the Salaf, what they used to do is mainly focusing on reciting Quran, right?
Yes.
So if you've got that time, by all means, prioritize that. Otherwise, if you're not and you're busy, you're running around, do a lot of adhkar.
Yeah.
You know, Imam Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, he mentions how that the best of those who fast are the ones who remember Allah the most. Right? The best fasting. In fact, he said the best of anyone who does any type of action is the one who incorporates the dhikr of Allah into that action, whether you're doing hajj, whether you're doing as-siyam.
Yeah.
That's what really raises the level of your fasting.
Yeah.
The dhikr of Allah, because you're on a different level. You know, you're being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you're fasting, while you're going about your daily, you know, routine.
Yes.
Okay. Then you've got Asr.
Yeah.
Before Asr, just before Maghrib, you can make a sincere dua because it's a time to get the dua accepted just before you break your fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then break your fast.
Yes.
Pray. Like, it's good. It, you know, we all know that it's best to break your fast on the dates and water and then just go pray straight away, because then you can relax and sit down.
That was a very good, like, because we usually like eat at my in-laws, so like it's a big family gathering. And alhamdulillah, we started doing this where we break our fast on a date and water and then go. And it's really like, it's nice when you pray and you have an empty stomach. It makes a difference in how you pray. Maghrib, you're more spiritually connected than actually doing it after, where you're like, oh my God, even if you don't eat a lot, I feel like even your tummy hasn't had food.
That's right.
You feel like the pressure. Even if like you don't, like, I know we do indulge
as well
with our meals, but even if we decided not to, it's still like a heavy load on the tummy that you were like without food for so long. So it just makes the prayer a bit different. So subhanAllah, that's a really good thing to do.
Yeah, even when you're eating and you know you've got to pray Maghrib still. Yes. Like, I don't know, I just don't feel relaxed because I know I've got to go do something.
Yes, you sit down and you're like, we need to eat and we need to do something, rather than just doing that and then starting to pack the dishes and all that. And yeah, you feel like more relaxed, like you said, subhanAllah. Yeah.
And then you're going to prepare yourself for Tarawih. I personally prefer, to be honest, praying at home. I find it less stress on me.
Yes.
But it depends on the person. Like, if you're a person that you don't trust yourself, you know, that you're going to be like slack off and just, you know, get into the bed because it's warm and fall asleep.
Yeah.
Then get yourself to the masjid, you know. And if you don't know how to, for example, you're not very competent with, you know, reciting the Quran and stuff like that, you might need to, you know, get to the masjid. But I personally find it less stress to just pray at home.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in my own place. And I mean, years ago when my husband, he would take the kids to the masjid, so it was great. I had the whole house nice and quiet. So I actually enjoyed, you know, praying at home. It was lovely, you know.
SubhanAllah.
So yeah, and that's basically your day, you know, pray Al-Isha and then a Tarawih.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's basically the day, especially for the first, you know, the first 20 days.
SubhanAllah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we hit the accelerator of like not sleeping.
Inshallah.
SubhanAllah, inshallah. This podcast is brought to you by Sadaqa Welfare Fund.
I see a face across the place that's burning. By the fire of what we fear the most. Shower down and drench us to the bone. I dream of the day.
And now back to the podcast. So how do you get, like, I know your children are way older now, but how did you used to get them like into the spirit of Ramadan?
Yeah. Look, I think you have to realize that we are the ones that really set the tone for Ramadan.
Yeah.
So it's about you've got to set the feel of Ramadan in your home.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I used to think about certain things I could do to make it a different experience. Like for one thing is obviously the warmth of the family environment. You know, like if you have suhoor together, like one thing I used to do sometimes is I put like candles. We have a candlelight suhoor. So you make it a bit exciting for them.
Yeah.
Because like kids love things like that, like a candlelight suhoor, you know. And then, you know, you have your little spread of all these amazing little dishes around the table. Like could be just labna and, you know, ful and stuff like that. But it's because we don't normally always have that.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to mention that probably only lasts for a couple of days, and after that you just get slack and say, here's your week fix. But you know what I mean? But at least for the first few days, just to, you know, get the fun.
Yeah, of course.
You know.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, and I think we have to watch ourselves in trying to create a peaceful environment in the home, because especially in Ramadan, because you want the kids to associate Ramadan with a really peaceful, warm time, not a stressful time. Because sometimes some people when they fast, they actually become angrier and they sort of like start screaming more at the kids and stressing. So I think let's just go back and, you know, refocus and remember what is Ramadan about. It's not a time for us to stress. We just need, you know, just try to relax and let the kids feel relaxed in Ramadan. Don't even feel like your akhlaq becomes the worst, so they sort of dread every year when Ramadan comes around.
Yeah, my mom's going to be angry. Alhamdulillah, no. Yeah. I feel like I might have, maybe, I don't know, I don't remember, but ever since my eldest started fasting, I feel so like, oh, you poor thing. And he's like skinny. And I'm like, oh, are you okay? Like, you know, I just want to make sure like he's fed properly. Like, did you eat? Are you sure? Like, I feel like the little bodies, like they're just getting used to fasting, subhanAllah. So with me, I feel like I've become like overprotective mom of like, are you okay? Like you're fasting, subhanAllah.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. As long as they're eating well at you know, at dinner time.
You know, they don't eat well. I feel like their stomach is just gets full very quickly.
And then make sure they eat well. Make sure they wake up, you know, for suhoor and eat well then. It's really important.
Yeah.
You know, we used to always make sure they have their full, they have, you know.
Like some protein in them.
We really, make sure they're like eating something really substantial that's going to sustain them during the day.
SubhanAllah. Yeah. So what do you tell sisters now? I told you, like, I'm going to be working 9 to 5. Alhamdulillah, I'm working in a charity organization. So inshallah, I keep telling myself, I want to just live in the idea that we are helping our brothers and sisters in need, the disadvantaged brothers and sisters overseas. So I need to like keep telling myself it's not a job, because you do fall into the trap that it's just a normal job. It's a 9 to 5 and clock in, clock out. But I feel like in Ramadan, I just want to, and it is the biggest month of giving, and you see a lot of inspiring stories, subhanAllah. But what do you tell sisters that just go to uni or like they're going to a normal job? What is the advice for them to like actually still feel the spirituality of Ramadan, to still get the ajr, inshallah?
I think you need to, each morning you wake up, have that intention that this day I'm going to live it for the sake of Allah. Whatever I do this day, even if I'm going to uni, even if I'm going to work, I need to make this day for the sake of Allah in everything I do, so that you become, so set the tone for yourself from the beginning of the day, right? And then whatever you're doing, like for example, don't waste that time. You're commuting to work, right? Yeah. You're driving to work. You're catching the train to uni. Make the most of that time.
Yeah.
You know, it could be reciting Quran, could be listening to Quran, could be, you know, doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or, you know, try to, you know, don't waste that time. This is precious moments that subhanAllah will not return to us again until the day of resurrection.
Yeah.
When we'll you know, open up our book of good deeds, inshallah. May Allah help us to do that. And, you know, see the result of all this striving. So do you understand? These are days going by. Like once this day's gone, it's gone. So that's why you really have to, you know, prioritize your ibadah.
Yeah.
And also remember too that obviously we can do time management, right? There's time management. But let me say this, even the person who's the best in time management.
Yeah.
There's something called barakah in our time.
Yes.
Okay. And what brings the barakah in your time is the dhikr of Allah.
Yeah.
Right. So increasing the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala is something that increases the barakah, like the blessing in your time, that you can get more out of your day.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing too, I think, is focus on quality as opposed to quantity, especially when you're busy.
SubhanAllah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so even if you're not able to do as much ibadah as someone else, but when you do get to do your ibadah, make sure it's high quality ibadah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like really focus on your prayer, like really get into your prayer and really, you know, really feel the prayer and focus on it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So whatever you're doing, and with your, you know, your fasting, just keep, you know, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always while you're fasting.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
Yeah, subhanAllah. I feel like now, like with work, like people, they were telling me parenting advice. They're like, well, the time that you spend with your kids, since you're seeing them less, make sure you're conscious that you're spending this time with them. No. So it's the same thing. SubhanAllah, we do it in other things in life as well. We might as well just focus on our spirituality, because we get like from like all the, like, you know, secular advice about like how to be conscious, how to be in the moment. And since we have less time, if we're working or going to uni or whatever we're busy with, just being conscious of like the idea of our deen.
A lot of people don't realize that what we're really aiming for in Ramadan is to try to reach the level of al-ihsan.
Yeah.
You know, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described us, what is this level?
Yeah.
And ta'budu Allah ka'annaka tarahu fa in lam takun tarahu fa innahu yarak.
Yeah.
To worship Allah as if you see him, even if you can't see him, he sees you. Now, a lot of people might use that hadith for prayers.
Yes.
But they don't realize that flows over into your daily life.
Yes.
Okay, so you live your life for Allah.
SubhanAllah.
Right? As if you can see Allah all the time, not just in your salah,
yeah,
but even the whatever you're doing in your life, right? And yes, even if you can't get to that level, keep conscious that Allah sees you.
Yes.
And that is a really important advice for when you're fasting, because then you're going to guard your tongue, you're going to guard your eyesight, your hearing, everything, and you're going to reach a higher level in your siyam, a higher level in your fasting. And that's what the whole aim of fasting is.
Yeah. It's to actually like be there. SubhanAllah. Yeah, like it's making me change a lot of things in my mind. This podcast is brought to you by Sadaqa Welfare Fund.
السلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم.
كيف حالك يا عمو؟ هذا وجبة إفطار مقدم من مؤسسة الصدقة. رمضان كريم.
كل عام وأنت بخير.
رمضان كريم.
كل عام وأنت بخير.
رمضان كريم. كل عام وأنت بخير.
كل عام وأنت بخير. رمضان كريم. كل عام وأنت بخير. رمضان كريم.
So how does Jamal Adin approach charity? Like, because we're prepping now, like, and we're like Ramadan, as I told you, is like the biggest month of giving. I know we give sadaqah like throughout the year, of course, like Allah has encouraged us about sadaqah and zakat, but like you feel like people tend to be reminded of sadaqah and zakat more. Like, how do you approach it, and how do you actually get your children to approach sadaqah and to actually make them have empathy towards the people overseas that are disadvantaged or vulnerable, like living in vulnerable communities?
Yeah, look, I think we have to realize that if we want Allah to have mercy upon us,
yep,
we need to have mercy with our brothers and sisters.
Yes.
You know, we need to have empathy and be thinking about our brothers and sisters,
yes,
you know. So Ramadan's not just about us. Like, yes, there's the whole focusing on your individual relationship with Allah.
Yep.
But then Allah wants us also to think outwardly too, you yes know, about the ummah. Yeah. What are we doing for the ummah? What are we doing for our brothers and sisters? You know, if we want to get close to Allah, how are we going to get close to Him? We don't think also outwardly, right?
Yes.
So we want to get close to Allah. One of the ways to get close to Allah, mm-hmm, is by, you know, sadaqah, yeah, by you know, charity and sadaqah and zakat. And pay, make sure you pay your zakat, by the way. Some people, you know, they haven't paid their zakat, but yeah, they'll pay sadaqah. So yeah, it's very important to make sure you've ticked those things.
Yeah.
If you really want to.
And it's easy now. Like on our website, we have like a zakat calculator. You just put the numbers, right, and it just calculates it for you. So we've made it easier for brothers and sisters to actually just directly know how much zakat they have to put in the year, inshallah. So it is easier now. I feel like we're so lucky and fortunate. We don't have to think about it that much.
Yeah, it's so much easier. I mean, you can even do, you know, where they take out a certain amount from your account.
Yes.
You know, in the last 10 nights, for example, they take out a certain amount of your account, you know,
yes,
from your account. So it's much easier.
Yeah.
Before, we used to do it in the masjid when we were going to the masjid.
Yes.
Like I don't know how it's going to be this year, but like last year we obviously couldn't go. Yes. So most people were doing their transactions online.
Yes.
Due to that.
SubhanAllah, yeah.
But I think that's the main thing, you know, focusing on, you know, that's part of your Ramadan, you know, part of, yes, your acts of worship in Ramadan is going to be sadaqah. It is going to be your zakah.
Yes.
You know, if you normally pay your zakat in Ramadan.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like I said, just thinking outwardly, thinking about the ummah, thinking about the brothers and sisters. I mean, imagine feeding the, you know, the people in need around the world, right? Yeah. I always think about them. Imagine those people breaking fast,
yeah,
on something that you've provided for them.
Like,
and that could be even when you're not fasting, they're breaking their fast,
yeah,
on something you've provided. So, you know, and yes, you're going to get the reward of all those people that, inshallah, you've provided iftar for.
Yeah, yeah. And you'd see them. You'd see the videos here as well. Like, you'd see, like, they're like, oh, it just came right in time. Or they say, like, we wait for the trucks. In Ramadan, we just wait for the trucks to arrive. If no trucks arrive, then we don't have anything to eat. If the trucks arrived with the aid, then we do have something to eat. SubhanAllah. Yeah. Imagine just waiting at Maghrib time. you don't know whether the aid is coming or not. So it's like, it's a big thing. I'm like, we prep and we start from 1 p.m. Like, you see the mother just doing all these dishes, and like, I don't mean to like belittle anybody or whatever, but I feel like we're in such a, like, alhamdulillah, we're blessed.
No.
We're like, we live where we don't have to worry about these things. And like, subhanAllah, like, these people are just waiting, and with their children, just waiting for us to send aid. And they'd know, like, they'd know from what country it came as well. So subhanAllah, I just feel like it's
right. Like, this is our test as well. Like, this blessing we're living in is our test. Like, their test is poverty. Their test is, you know, hardship. Our test is this bliss and this blessing we're in. Allah's going to test us to see, you know, what are we going to do with these blessings Allah's given us? And and subhanAllah, most of us in Australia are very, very blessed.
Alhamdulillah.
The least we can do is, you know, give the small amount at least.
Yep.
You know what I mean? As a shukr to Allah, as a thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yep. SubhanAllah. And like, and you feel like with children, how do you tell them about, how do you come about, like, to tell them to have empathy? I feel with my children, I tell them, oh, there are people that are poor, whatever. I show them now, like, alhamdulillah, I work in a charity organization. I show them the videos. I'm like, you see these kids, like, they're running for the boxes, for the food packs. Like, they're running towards them. I'm like, do you run towards me for, like, the Woolies shopping? You don't, like, you don't care about this. I'm like, they care about rice and lentils and all that. They don't have that access. But how do you, like, make it, like, you know, something that it's ingrained in them? Like, you see some, like, kids that actually believe it. How do you try to instill that in your children, subhanAllah?
Look, there have been at times powerful videos of young children. For example, may like make everything easy on our ummah, you know. For example, digging in the dirt, trying to find a bit of bread.
Yes.
You know, things like that. Just show them those kind of scenes and let them think about, like, that. Like, while you're sitting there deciding whether you don't even want to finish your food and you're being picky on your food.
Is this what you'd made,
Mom? I don't like this food. Yeah. You know, these kids are actually just grateful just to find a piece of bread.
Yes.
You know, so I think that's probably I think you got to just give it in a very relatable way. They're still kids, you know, don't expect them to have like, that's why if you can ever go overseas and let them see real life children who are struggling.
Yeah.
I think that's a far more powerful, you know, experience. It's we are very disconnected. That's the problem.
SubhanAllah.
We are very disconnected here.
Yeah. Yeah. SubhanAllah. Jazakallah khair for joining us. I really love this conversation. I wish I want to keep you more. I want to ask you all these things and pick your brain.
Allah. May Allah reward you for inviting me, and may Allah bless your efforts, what you're doing here.
Inshallah, inshallah. Yeah. Sisters, if you want to learn more about what we're doing this Ramadan, we're trying to reach 11 million meals, inshallah, and that cannot happen without your donations. So visit sadaqah.org.au to see how you can help today. And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you comment, share with your friends and family the benefits. And if you want to listen to the audio version of it, you can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.